You know,
I know. There's some. There, I was shopping with some guy at Hershey that I knew.
Say what?
You know him.
You were shopping for an RV with some guy?
When I was at Hershey years ago, there was a gentleman who I was like walking around with.
You're not making me feel better about this.
I don't want to use his name. You know who he was. Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we are giving you about 10 to 12 quick tips for RV show shopping this season. We have not covered RV show shopping in a while because the world has been weird.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's been too long. So we were like, not only are RV shows opening again, probably this winter season in a way that they weren't last year, but also the buying landscape right now is really
so
different.
So a lot of our traditional tips are going to work, but then others need sort of adjustment in the current buying environment. So we'll talk about the current environment. We'll talk about some, you know, some tips that we've been giving for years that will really help you maximize your trip to the big RV shows. And we're thinking like, you know, the Tampa RV Super Show. We're thinking those larger shows out there where you can really see a lot of what is being made right now. We know a lot of people go to their first RV show or their first three RV shows, and they walk away feeling overwhelmed and confused and having less of an idea of what they want to buy than before they went to the RV show. So we're going to give you some great tips to help you make the most out of going to RV shows this winter. But before we do that, we have sponsored messages from our friends at CampSpot and from our friends at Go RVing. CampSpot is a free instant booking platform for camping across North America. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more, whether it's last minute or for your epic road trip months away. CampSpot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. CampSpot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and a lowest price guarantee so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Plus, you can save your favorite campground finds for future trips and keep all of your reservations organized in one place. No more digging through old emails to access those reservations. With CampSpot, they are always right at your fingertips. It is time to book those 2022 camping trips right now, believe it or not. To find your camp spot, visit campspot.com today. Go RVing's newly designed website, GoRVing.com, is packed with all of the information you need to get started and go RVing. Check out Go RVing's Get Started tab to find information from real RVers about buying an RV, renting an RV, finding a campground, and a comprehensive first-timer's toolkit. The Buying an RV section includes a complete guide to buying a new RV and tips for visiting national parks. The Renting an RV section explores your options for trying before buying. The Finding a Campground section lets you search campgrounds by state. The First Timers Toolkit is a robust set of blog posts and how-to videos that will turn you into an expert RVer in no time at all. Go RVing's Get Started tab is packed with the content you need to become a more experienced RVer and have fun doing it. And this is just a small sample of the content you will find there. To find out more, head on over to GoRVing.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's talk about efficiently and thoughtfully tackling some of the big RV shows this winter. We have some great tips for you. And I also do want to say we're in this ever shifting environment with coronavirus. Just be thoughtful, be careful. consider your own health and the health of others as you go RV shopping. Look, Stephanie and I are going to be at RV shows this winter.
Yeah.
We're going to do it as safely as we can.
Yeah. I'm going to be down in Tampa in January. And that's when I started to think about this show and just say, maybe we need to like revisit this topic because it's been a little while. And I think the first thing to note is that I think there's going to be a lot of people who are RV shopping, who actually bought their first RV during the pandemic. That is one of the things that I think is going to happen. People impulse bought their first RV.
And now they make the adjustment.
And now they're like, okay, that's not really what we wanted, or this was not good. And now they're going to go and they're going to do that second RV purchase, which is incredibly common.
And I think, hopefully they won't get burned.
Right.
Because, and if that's you, if you're listening and that's you, if you made the impulse RV purchase and it was not the RV that seems to fit well for your family, you should get good money for your RV.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't accept some crappy price for your trade-in. Prices are decent right now for selling used RVs.
That is, let's make that the first tip, even though it's not, because you just brought it up. Listen, if you bought an RV and in the pandemic, you paid top premium dollars, you need to consider selling it on the private market and then purchasing from a dealer if you don't want to get burned. That's a way you can do it, where on the private market, you're going to get top dollar. It's going to be a little more of a hassle, but if you want to maximize, and then you buy at a show price.
I'll add to that. You might want to sell your RV at a dealer before the big RV show.
Yeah.
Instead of selling it at the big RV show, where they're going to feel like they more have you as a captive audience. We sold our last RV for $7,000 more than we bought it for.
Yeah.
Granted, we got a very nice discount. We work in the industry, but we bought our last RV.
Yeah.
So I would not go to sell it at the show if it was me.
I wouldn't either.
I would go to 3 or 4 dealers, shop around, sell it, and go to the show with that money in the bank.
Yep.
Hopefully.
If you have an RV right now, you have the upper hand. Inventory is everything right now. So if you have an RV, take advantage of that and be smart. If you go and you let them give you some number that they're going to wrap into your new purchase for your RV, you are probably not getting the best deal. And you need to know ahead of time, if you are going to do that, know what your RV is going for somewhere else. Maybe go to a dealer ahead of time and ask them. Yeah, go to RV Trader, see what's out there. Have an idea, because I'm telling you, that's where you'll lose the savings at an RV show.
We got to dig in on what you just said, just the one part. Inventory.
Yeah.
Dealers, and it's getting maybe a little bit better, but dealers are really lacking inventory. They are desperate to buy used RVs. My dealer, God bless him, I love our dealer. I just said, I got more than I paid for it. They also came and picked it up from my house. Mm-hmm. They wanted it so badly. I said, hey, I'm busy. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it there. He's like, I'll come get it. I mean, he sent somebody over here to pick it up out of my driveway because he wanted that inventory so badly.
Yeah.
So I'd sell it first, then show up at the show.
Yes, okay? 100%. That is like the adjustment to this. There'll be other adjustments as we go through some of our tips for this. But so noting that, we also want to say that there are different kinds of RV shows. Do not expect the same thing no matter where you show up. We used to work, we used to give presentations at the Good Sam RV shows all winter long. And the number of people that would show up to maybe a smaller one wanting motorized homes and saying, oh my gosh, it was all travel trailers here, right? Or they didn't have the range, or, oh, we were really looking at toy haulers, but there really weren't that many options here. Exactly. You want to go to some of the bigger shows if you want to see a lot, right? What are the bigger shows? Hershey, which already happened in September, Tampa, which is happening now in, you know, January.
Couple weeks, really.
Right. And then some of like the Colorado expos, you know, different ones like that are going to be larger. There's going to be a lot of smaller local ones. Understand that you're just not going to get the range that you might be looking
at. I'm not
a
big fan of the small local shows. A lot of times they are just shows put on by a local dealer where that dealer takes their inventory
and blows up some balloons.
And just blows up some balloons and drives
and
it over
a hot dog stand
to a minor league baseball stadium.
Yeah.
I like to go to the larger shows, or the ones that are the middle-sized shows, the regional type shows. A lot of good ones like Michigan.
Texas RV show is coming back on this. I just saw that they're going to be there. The Boston, the Chicago
I want to see 10 dealers, right? Yeah. And I want to see a lot of different manufacturers. I want to be able to look at a Jayco, a Winnebago, an Airstream, whatever it might be. See a variety of things as you start to dive in and figure out what you want and what you like.
Yeah. And just so you know, let's say too, those smaller ones might be just fine if you are literally at the very beginning of your process and you're like, I've never walked into an RV before. I have this idea that I'd like it. That's a perfect thing for you to do. You're not going to struggle with parking or crowds, right? Just go walk in. Get an idea for what's out there. That is actually a good use of those small. It's, you know, you have a winter afternoon, nothing to do. Fine. Go
and,
there.
And don't buy. Yes. Right? I mean, don't get roped into buying something.
Okay.
Okay. So what's our next
tip? Let's go. Well, yeah. So we'll officially go into our
tips. Let's officially go into our tips. Those were bonus tips.
Those were bonus. Yeah. So number one, do online reconnaissance. Okay. Go to the RV show website. Sometimes they're not up very far in advance. They're not really great at this in the industry, but really close to the show, a lot of the time you'll have all the information online that you need. Look at sometimes they'll have a show map you can print out. You could take a picture on your phone of the PDF. So it's right there for you to draw up. They give coupons still online for these shows. Free parking.
You can see who the speakers are, if they're speakers.
Yeah. And then also look at the food options and the vendors, because I'm telling you, some of these RV shows have like no food. I'm not exaggerating. And people show up thinking they're going to like shop around and get lunch, and then they're hangry at an RV show. And,
I mean, Tampa actually can have kind of good food.
Yes.
But then some of the more local shows, like, it's an $8 hot dog.
Right.
And it's not a good hot dog.
No, it's like, you know, those like convention center
Throw
vendors.
Some subs in a cooler.
Yeah.
Take a break, go back out to your car, have lunch, cool off.
Or look in the area and see a nice little restaurant to go to take a break from
That's not a bad idea either.
Right. Like, definitely know that food may be an issue. Okay.
All right. Tip number two.
Tip number two, attend the show on the quietest day possible. If you are doing anything but just simply burning time on a cold Saturday by going there with the kids. Okay. Usually shows will run either Wednesday or Thursday through Sunday. I will tell you that the first day is normally the quietest, like a Thursday or a Friday is quiet, quiet, quiet. Friday, some people come after work. It'll like pick up some steam on a Friday evening. Saturdays are jammed.
Bonkers.
You can't get in and out of RVs. It's very overwhelming. If you're a serious shopper, you should not be there on a Saturday.
It's also hard to RV shop in a serious way if you're bringing your kids with you. And we've had a hard time getting sitters over the course of our lives with kids. If you can have grandma or grandpa or somebody watch the kids so you can more thoughtfully walk through these RVs, you know,
again, if you're serious, it just depends. If you're getting the lay of the land and you want to see if you want to do quality control, sure, bring the kids. Let them jump on the bunk and see if it breaks.
That's so funny. We have seen this happen.
Oh my gosh.
Kids like climb up the bunk bed ladders and like the bunk bed ladders break.
Yeah. So definitely this all depends on where your mindset is at. But if you are really trying to narrow down what you're going to purchase and thinking about making a deal, having kids there is not going to help you make the best decisions. It's just not. And that comes from people that have our kids with us all the time because we don't built in childcare.
Yeah, I know. And look.
Yeah.
Pull the kids out of school for a day, have a family day. Our kids have great attendance at school. I'm not afraid to every now and then pull them out for something like this. And also, just with the virus and everything, going on the quietest day possible will have some advantages too. You might feel a little bit safer than going on a crowded Saturday where you really are going to feel surrounded by people.
All right. So number three, we already covered water, snacks, lunch. Okay. Stay refreshed. Do not need to buy $3 bottles of water every time you're thirsty. I know that this sounds ridiculous, but you actually have to come a little bit prepared for these RV shows.
You have to think like an athlete. You have to drink water, people.
I've seen so many people sitting in RVs.
At Hershey. Everyone's like hot, exhausted.
Shell-shocked. Like nobody knows what happened. Somebody might be like, I remember seeing an RV.
Did we just buy something?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I've seen people make really.
Well, and the salesman And the sales women are hypothetically are at the top of their game at shows.
Well, it's the because show dogs. Because
they're trying to make a lot of money in 3 days.
Well, at the big shows, like at Hershey and all those salesmen are not the ones from the dealer. They bring in people that this is their specialty. I mean, those dealers are stocked with what they're called show dogs. This is what they do. They show up and they sell.
Like that guy from Pulp Fiction. Like that Harvey Keitel figure from Pulp Fiction.
No, and they know, man, how to close these deals. They know how to look at that, those dehydrated eyes. And
we know people who have literally called us like and said, oh yeah, we're going to Hershey, you know, we're not really shopping. Not buy anything. And they call us 3 days later like, we bought something.
They're good, those show dogs are right. Okay, so number four, agree to a shopping plan. So if you're attending with friends or a significant other, you all have to be on the same page. If you're going with friends, you have to be like, oh, we're just walking around, or hey guys, we're really shopping seriously, so we're gonna like split off, meet up for lunch or whatever. Always be on the same page. I remember even early on, the first time we went to Hershey together, when we had our pop-up, and you had in your mind a few models that you wanted to see. And you were like dragging me by the nose to see those models. And I was like, but I want to look at this. I want to look at that. You're like, no, we're not interested in that. Because you had your models in your head. And I kind of was more in a different mindset. I was kind of more in the
experimental.
Wait a minute. Let me look, because we have this pop up and we're thinking about something else. So it's important that you're on the same page with the people that you're shopping
with. Well, I was hell bent on getting a certain brand.
Yes.
We had had a bad experience with one brand. I had determined another brand was better. And I think I was probably really locked in.
You were like, I know the three things that we're going to look at. And I didn't care enough to really fight against that. But I do remember being on different pages at RV shows is usually not the best idea.
Well, you see couples fighting.
Yeah.
At RV shows.
Or somebody sitting there with their arms folded on a bench and you're like, ooh.
Oh my God.
Where's the...
Do you remember that couple that was sitting down at the dinette table debating whether they could buy the RV?
No.
And the husband said, I want to buy this RV. And the wife said, well, if you stop drinking, maybe we can afford the payment. And then it went from there.
Wow. Public spaces. Yeah, now I remember. I do remember that comment. That
she was putting
it
to him. Like, you want an RV and an RV payment?
Yeah.
You got to cut back on the booze.
Yeah, the beer money has to come
The beer
back.
Money will become the RV. You know, that's a good life decision right there.
Yeah, if
beer
you
money becomes RV
make
payment.
Your booze money, your RV payment, you're probably going to be a happier person in the long run. I don't know. Maybe.
I think so.
All right. Number five. This goes along with having a plan with the person that you're shopping with, if you're shopping with somebody, but also have a system for recording information. This is a very confusing thing to do. RVs look the same, like they feel the same. It's the model numbers are hard to remember. People
24BHLL572.
So you go there to learn and to figure out what you want. And then by the end of the day, you can't remember which one it was that you even liked.
You need to take photos and have a system.
Right.
So for me, I take my first photo in a series will be the model number sticker on the
door. Outside of the door walking in.
And then I'll do a series of exterior, interior. But I always try and do them in the same sequence so I don't get confused later when I look back at them.
Okay. Yeah. Or a notes on your phone. The notes app is really good. And then you put the model, you put any of your pros and cons, print out one that you can like make notes on, you know, if you want to be old school, print out notes.
Relying on memory.
No, it's not going to work.
Naughty.
Yeah. You have to have a system.
All right. The next tip is really, really a clutch key RV Atlas tip that we've been giving for years. And we have probably literally had hundreds of people say, thank you for that tip. That was the tip that made the difference. So if you haven't been, zoning in and out, or you're driving and haven't been paying attention, get focused. This is the best tip.
This is the money tip. This is the money one. All right. You need to make sure that you speak to manufacturer's representatives instead of the sales people. We just mentioned
the dealership salespeople.
Even the dealership salespeople are the people that they've just hired for the weekend to come sell RVs to you. So here's the thing. There's going to be two types of people at any RV display.
Use Airstream as a hypothetical.
Right.
Okay.
There will be the people there who work normally at the dealership, the Airstream dealership. Those salespeople are the people there on the lots when you go to visit that place. They are responsible for selling all of the models there, all of the brands, whatever's there on the lot. What a manufacturer does is they send in support to these shows, to the larger shows. They send people who work developing these RVs, designing, producing, manufacturing these RVs. They send them to the RV show to support the dealer.
And a lot of times these are like stars from the manufacturer. I mean, these are people who are really high level within the manufacturer.
Well, they might have been at the very beginning the person who ideated that floor plan, right? Or something. Yes. Like they might have been the one who said
they're the designers of the floor plan.
Yeah, it's very common. So how do you know the difference? Okay, the dealer people, the dealer salespeople will have the dealer shirts on.
Chuck's Airstream.
Yeah. Or whatever they're wearing, a badge or something like that. The manufacturer representatives will have the manufacturer clothing.
They will have Airstream, generic Airstream shirt that they wear to every RV show.
Yes. The Jayco shirt. Okay. And it'll say like Integra on it or whatever.
They don't give them Chuck's Airstream shirts for the weekend.
Nor will they wear them. They do.
And we're not knocking salespeople. No. They're earning a living too. Just trying to give you the best way to get the best information.
We're not in this for the salespeople. We're in this for you.
But there's a whole other reason why it's better to talk to the manufacturer's representative. They specifically just design and build the floor plans for that brand, for Airstream. The sales guy from Chuck's Airstream might also sell Winnebagos and Keystones. He has to know 100 different RVs, where the manufacturer's rep might only be involved in making 8 floor plans in a certain line.
Yeah, I also think the manufacturer reps are a little more long-term focused, like in terms of a customer. Like when they're talking to you, you know, here's just the bottom line. A salesperson, their paycheck is dependent on whether you decide to buy this RV.
That's very true.
For a manufacturer rep, do they want you to buy it? Yes, yeah. But they're not walking away at the end of the day with a quota.
Well, they're not thinking, am I going to be able to get a pool this spring based on how I do today?
Yeah, so it's just a different mentality and they'll be willing to have patience
They're more chill.
Because they don't go, okay, well, if this person's not going to buy it, I got to go to somebody else and make a sale. So it just really is the important thing to track down those manufacturers.
All right. We have got 4 or 5 more great tips for RV show shopping in 2022. And we'll get into the current environment too with how expensive things are. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford. Thetford makes going places easy by manufacturing top RV maintenance and sanitation products, and they've been doing it since 1963. Thetford's Aquamax holding tank treatments neutralize odors and accelerate waste digestion to prevent clumping, clogging, and tank residue, all at the same time. The Aquamax family is Bronopol and formaldehyde-free, so it's campground-friendly and California-compliant. It's also proudly made in the USA. Thetford's family of Aquamax holding tank treatments have been extensively researched and treated safe for all RV and marine toilets, holding tanks, and septic systems. Aquamax is available in liquid toss-ins and drive packets in 7 different sizes and in spring shower scent and summer cypress scent. To find out more, head on over to thetford.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is time for tip number 7. We have alluded to the fact that some people get a little bit dazed and stunned and confused and end up buying RVs that they did not plan on buying.
Yeah, don't get rushed into an impulse purchase. You just really do not need – look, you can get a good price at a show. That is true. But the price at a show is not going to be low enough to override the mistake of buying the wrong RV. Right? Because if you have to end up selling it because you're like, that wasn't really what we wanted, you're going to take a hit. So that low price is not going to override that. And it's not going to override also maybe the finance hit you're going to take by just taking whatever the dealer gave you at the finance place instead of having your own, you know, finance lined up. Besides, I actually got a really good finance deal on our last RV. So I was able to actually say to our dealer, well, I got this interest rate. Can you beat that? And they did. They wanted me to go through them because they benefit from that. It's very hard to do that kind of a thing when you're in a show environment.
I have another tip on the financing line, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm saying this humbly. Don't borrow more than you should borrow.
Yeah.
And this is coming from someone who we've come close, you know, and we're just doing our best that we can now to make these have really significant down payments or cash purchases.
Well, we also buy towables. We don't buy motorized, which are just in another.
We have never spent more than $30,000 on an RV.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, we just don't go into the range. I've heard, you know, people at shows, like the salespeople at shows saying to people, this is like a cable payment for a motorhome. And it's just, that is so disingenuous. If you're buying a motorhome, it's not a cable payment because you're going to have insurance on that and you're going to have to maintain a motor on that. And your oil changes are going to cost way more than you are prepared for.
I say this ad nauseum. You're not having more fun in a more expensive RV. It might be more comfort. You know, there's different qualities that you might have, but you're not going to have more fun. So buy something that you can afford that fits the budget and try to put down a really healthy down payment if
you're
not paying cash.
And that impulse payment might take off from your camping budget. And that's what drives me the most crazy about this like upsell environment that happens at RV shows. So somebody's like, well, it's not that big of a deal to pay this much more per month. They love telling you your monthly payment. And then it's like, well, yeah, but that's your camping budget.
But what about, but that's disingenuous too, because when you go to sell it, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter.
But
my payment's only $10 more a month.
Right
I mean,
now,
when you go to sell it, you're going to get hammered.
Oh, right now, the number of people I see on Facebook Marketplace trying to sell their RV for what they owe. And that's what they say, selling it for what I owe. What you owe does not matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's your problem. The camper's worth what it's worth. It doesn't matter what you owe.
Just because resale values are super high now doesn't mean they will be. I mean, traditionally, RVs, the prices have declined pretty rapidly after you bought a new RV. And that could come back,
right,
too.
And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to take advantage of the environment and sell the RV that we would have kept around for a while. Because we use that for everything besides just camping, like an office, a bedroom for our guests. So, the money was there and we definitely wanted to take advantage of it.
I said before that that was the money tip. I think there's another money tip here. I think this is the second one that really, really matters. You're not just shopping for an RV manufacturer. You're shopping for an RV dealer. And getting a good dealer matters just as much as getting a good RV. There are times when I think that getting a good dealer matters more than whatever RV you pick.
Yeah.
So then the question becomes, how do you figure? Because if you go to Hershey or the Florida RV Super Show, I mean, there's 80 dealers there.
A lot.
I don't even know how many. There's so many. So how do you pick a good deal? A lot of people go, well, I want this manufacturer and this brand. I think very few people think, well, I want this dealer.
Yeah. Sometimes they go hand in hand. But you do really need to talk to people about their experience with the dealer because of the fact that the industry has not worked out their service issues. They're doing all of these service technician training.
Well, they were trying to pull it all together and then COVID happened. And sales. I'm so sick of hearing, I got to be frank, I'm a little bit sick of hearing people brag about how many RVs are being sold every year. I think there are other metrics maybe we should care more about, like customer satisfaction.
Well, yeah. And I think that that's not realistic to expect that in a, you know, sales environment where I work for a publicly traded company. I mean, what does Thor want everybody to know? They're selling RVs. That's what investors want to hear. They don't care if they're happy or not. I agree with you.
I work in the RV industry. I want people to buy 8 RVs over the course of their lifetime and not buy one and not be happy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a little bit of a shift to that before this crazy run on RVs happened that started a year and a half ago, and there's no sense of it dying down. But speaking of that, let's talk about the next tip, which is the days of really, really, really deep discounts at RV shows maybe will return, but I think everybody needs to adjust their expectations. If you see people on Facebook that bought their RVs pre-pandemic telling you that you shouldn't settle for anything less than 30% below MSRP, they're not buying in this environment, and that's an unrealistic expectation. It may be realistic if that dealer has something sitting on their lot that they couldn't sell. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they, if they want to move this piece of inventory to free up space for something, or they don't want to pay for it the next month, right? On their books or whatever. Like, yeah, maybe there's something that's sitting there, but that's just not the way things are going.
Yeah, we used to tell people get 30% off MSRP, and I used to say 25%.
25, yeah.
But I mean, so Stephanie, do you think we are in an environment where people are paying MSRP?
People are. I mean, and in fact, people that shows? Put what's happening. No, not at shows. They know they have to give show pricing. But the problem is you're going to have to take what they have. Nobody cares. If you want a special order something, you're not going to be able to sit here and negotiate with them. And here's the problem. People are putting down deposits. And then the dealer's coming back to them and saying 3 months later, okay, your RV is finally being made, but the price is going to be higher on it.
Oh my God.
That's what's happening all the time.
I went to visit our friend Patrick at Colonial Airstream, and there was a lot of Airstreams on the lot. And I walked in, I was like, oh, looks like you guys got, you know, a lot of inventory. He's like, those are all sold.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Right. So the point is, yeah, if you're ordering something, you are losing your haggling power completely.
Yeah, because they're feeling too like they're doing the process and they don't really know what it's going to cost, because we all know that prices are in such fluctuation right now, right? Supply chain issues, the costs are increasing in real time. So, you know, a dealer has no interest in like dealing with someone who wants to get down to bottom dollar pricing, because they know that they're going to have to turn around and say, okay, well, now I just lost even more money because the price went up.
If you're ordering too, they can require a significant non-refundable down payment.
Yes.
And I have heard, you know, up to $5,000 is not unheard of. That is like not refundable. Like if you decide not to buy it, you're not getting it back.
It used to be, you know, somebody would be like, give me $200 earnest money, so I know, you know, we have some sort of deal. It is very different now. They want to know if they're going through this process that you're going to be the buyer, because they're maybe missing out on an opportunity with somebody else who they told, you know, it won't be till April or May. You have to understand that if you want to start RVing now, you will have to take what people have. Like, you're not going to be a shopper like we've always been a shopper. Like, this is the exact model I want. These are the exact features I want. You know, it's not that situation.
We need to circle back to the whole initial thing here. How do you pick a good dealer?
Yeah.
Read reviews online. Go, if you're buying at Hershey or the Florida RV Super Show and you decide you want to buy from a certain dealer that's 20 minutes away, 30 minutes away, I might drive over there first.
Yeah.
See if they have a good parts department. Mm-hmm. See if they have friendly service. See how many how many service bays they have. If you go to some massive RV dealership that has 3 service bays, that's a bad sign. If you go to a massive RV dealership that has 20 service bays, that's a good sign. You want to pick a dealer that's going to be able to service your RV after the purchase.
All right, another money thing before we move on from money is, some people used to always say too that you can get show pricing after the show. Like, don't be too impulsive, because you can always go to the dealer and be like, look, you were selling it for this, so I know you can sell it for this. Yes and no. Again, I never recommend making an impulse decision based on show pricing, because I think you lose that if you don't make the right decision, right? The benefits of show pricing you lose. However, you have to understand that some manufacturers are offering those dealers incentives that help them provide that pricing at the show. So the dealer, you know, the manufacturer might be giving them rebates. You know, like you go to the Ford dealership and it'll be like, oh, a manufacturer rebate of $1,000 or whatever. There may be rebates. They don't advertise it the same way that car dealerships do that. So you may not know.
That's true. It's a very similar system,
but they don't tell you.
It.
So there may be an underlying manufacturer rebate that is involved in that show price that's not going to be there when you go to the dealership.
The markup on RVs is so much higher than the markup on cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And trucks.
Right.
It is. The markup right now is huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 10,000, 20,000.
Yeah. So you have room to negotiate still. That
but
hasn't
not
changed.
If 50 other people want the same RV.
Right. But the demand, right? We live in a capitalist culture, like supply and demand. That's what it's all about. If the demand from somebody else is there, you can't play the hardball that you could have played 2 years ago. Sorry. That's just the facts.
I love your next tip here.
Okay.
Don't be embarrassed to check out the entire RV. This is really, really important. What do you mean by that?
So I think it's easier to do a better job at shopping when you're on a lot without that pressure of the RV show. At an RV show, some people with other people around and the pressure of the sales, you feel weird feeling the space of an RV. You should be lying in a bed. The Airstream put signs, don't lie in the bed, but whatever. If you're buying an Airstream, you can lie in the bed. They always have those signs at shows like, please stay off the bed. You should be standing in the shower. You should be sitting on the toilet. You should be standing in the kitchen pretending to make a meal. Move through the RV, two
walk
people,
past each other.
Walk past each other, open the bathroom door, see what happens to the hallway.
Like, make sure the bathroom door opens and closes when the slides,
in.
At a show, they might not be willing to bring in the
right.
slide.
But you could say, it's easy to say, where does the slide come into?
And you can figure it out.
Right. And you can like have this concept of don't be rushed to not really, really take in all those factors.
And, you know, Stephanie said lie in a bed. Lie in the bed to see if it has the size you want. If the mattress is uncomfortable, nobody cares. You can buy a new RV mattress for $200 to $300, and you can get a good one for $200 to $300.
Yeah, you don't make a $30,000 decision based on a $200 mattress. You know, like just like I.
But some people do. You know,
I know. There's some. There, I was shopping with some guy at Hershey that I knew.
Say what?
You know him.
You were shopping for an RV with some guy?
When I was at Hershey years ago, there was a gentleman who I was like walking around with.
You're not making me feel better about this.
I don't want to use his name. You know who he was. But he kept – the first question he was asking when he was entering into any of these RVs was if there was a Blu-ray DVD player. And like literally the RV was off his list if there wasn't a Blu-ray DVD player. I'm like, dude – like this salesperson should have said, I will buy you.
I know.
Do you want to buy this RV? I'll buy you a Blu-ray.
We threw away all our DVDs last week, remember?
Yeah,
we literally just chucked them all.
I was like, we're not going to use these anymore. So yeah, it's just like, don't make silly decisions about those kinds of things for things that are easily changeable. Get the RV that you want in the big picture.
All right, our last tip. And I this is important too. And I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people don't do this because I've been the seminar speaker. You know, like I've been the seminar speaker. If you get 20 people, that's a good crowd, right? If you get 50, that's amazing. Meanwhile, there's 5,000 people at the show, right? Attend the seminars. It's a nice way to sit back and kick back and relax and, you know, catch your breath and maybe even have lunch or a snack or a drink of water. But the seminar speakers at RV shows tend to be really good.
All right,
not
well,
just
I'm
us.
Gonna,
they tend to be really good and worth listening to.
I'm going
to
put a qualification in there.
Oh, yeah.
Attend the seminars that are not sponsored content from vendors, all right? So there's this thing, some RV shows basically give vendor tables the opportunity to have a seminar slot. And what happened was like, you know, this happens like years ago. I remember the first time I was like, oh my gosh. One of the seminars at the Tampa show was RVing to Alaska. And I was like, cool, let me go to that seminar. And I go and I sit down and guess what it was? It was that company that does like the huge, and these things cost $10,000, these caravans, the RV caravans to Alaska. And it was basically a sales pitch, a half hour sales pitch about a trip that I would never in a million years take. It wasn't about RVing to Alaska.
And the problem too is they present it like
it looks like real content. And it wasn't, it was a sales pitch. Now, you can be a vendor and still do great content. I'll give another example. I think it was called like the camp. It's like the Campground Connection or one of those groups of RV dealers down there does maintenance seminars at the Tampa show. And they are good at because right. Yes, it's a dealer. Yes, they have.
But it's different than when like Walter Cannon.
They're still giving you really good maintenance content.
Yeah.
So it's possible that a vendor does give you a good seminar, but you just need to be careful to not get involved in basically a half hour long sales pitch. It's much better when they're
educational. But it's an annoying
seminars.
Trend.
Yeah.
And it's an annoying trend for people like you and I. Like I still want to give RV show seminars. I really enjoy doing RV show seminars.
She's always been like that.
But it's like the difference between like them paying a seminar speaker who's an expert or a company paying the RV show, right?
Yeah.
It's just flipping the script so they can squeeze every last dollar out of the RV show.
Right.
So look for those real seminars. And more often than not, I would say they are really, really good, unless in the, you know, the case that you're talking about where they're basically paid advertisements.
Right.
So any other, you know, clutch tips for purchasing in this wild, crazy environment. Look, it's not a great environment to purchase in. I hate to say it. It's not.
Financially, no, but I don't actually ever think that an RV is a great financial decision. We've talked about this
a lot in the past.
This is a life decision. This is a value decision, right? There are certain things you spend money on in life because it's an investment. Our home, this like crazy project that we've been working on for the past year, we bought the worst house in a neighborhood we loved. That is an investment. It is hard, but we already have made our money back in spades by, you know, doing this. An RV should not be looked at as that. The question is it's like when you go out to dinner, you're spending money for an experience. Okay. You're not saying like, am I going to be able to get my money back on dinner? No, of course you're not. RVing is, do you want to spend this amount of money to have these experiences with your family? And you really need to stay within the range of the money that you are willing to spend on those experiences.
I'm going to go back to something you said in the show, and we can end on this note if you want to. I would really say to people, spend less and travel more.
Yes.
Spend less and maximize the actual experience of traveling. Because look, the more I do this, the more for me it's about the destinations, the memories, seeing the country. I could be in almost any RV, you know, like I want an RV I love.
Yeah.
But we've done this in a pop-up camper. We've done this in fancy travel trailers. We've rented motorhomes.
The rig is less important than everybody wants you to think it is. It really is. If you want to have this experience, then have the experience on your terms. I'm not saying I don't, you know, don't spend money that makes you sad about the experience. No, it doesn't. Like, because if it puts you into that area where you're regretting
or it's stressful,
then you've taken away the whole point.
The whole point is to escape stress, right? Yeah. I mean, RV travel at its best for us, it's been this magical escape from a lot of the stress and worry of, you know, regular 9-to-5 life.
And what we're saying about money, it's different for everybody. And I'm totally okay with that. For us, that money that wasn't too big of a strain, that was always that travel trailer money. For somebody else, it might be a class C. It might be 60, 70, 80,000.
If you're retiring and you've worked your whole life and you want an Airstream, or if you're 30 years old and you got a ton of money in the bank and you want an Airstream or a Newmar, go buy that expensive RV if you have it.
Everybody has a different comfort level. You have a different family budget. So whatever it is, that whatever amount of money it is that you have that you can spend without getting mad or sad, do it.
Do it.
Just do it.
And bring lots of water.
And bring water.
And make sure
don't
the RVs, if they don't have solar, make sure they're pre-wired for solar. Because I think everyone's going to want solar.
Yeah.
I just think that's the environment now. If it doesn't have solar, make sure it's pre-wired. Because if you have to add in the wiring yourself or have a dealer do it, it's going
to
cost a lot.
I don't like just to get without an inverter.
You know what? Spend the money on the solar package.
I'm sitting here saying nothing matters, and you're like, no, but solar.
Carve out a little money for the solar package.
All right, okay? Everybody.
Because then you can boondock and dry camp. We'll see you.
We will see you at the RV show.
At the RV show.
Bye. A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Camp Spot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.